We do welcome you here this morning. We're glad that you are with us today. I am really proud of that title. Most of my sermon titles are pretty bland and ordinary on any given Sunday. You probably noticed that. I don't know if you do or not, but I'm kind of proud of that one. And you may not have any idea where we're going with it, but hopefully by the time we're through, you will appreciate not only the title, but also what I hope to share with you this morning. A little bit of information to lead you up to where that title came from and what I want to do today. Earlier this summer, some of our family, we were visiting Dana's family, who lives in St. Peter's, Missouri, which is just a little bit west of St. Louis. And we attended a church that Sunday morning, the weekend that we were there, where Dana's father preaches. And the adult class that we attended that day was working out of the book of Ecclesiastes, the passage that is listed there on the screen behind me. That's not my favorite book to study. I'll just be honest about that. But that's kind of for another day and another story. But they were working out of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, where in that entire chapter, at least much of it, Solomon, who we believe wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, is just kind of rapid firing a number of proverbial statements. Now, for those of you not real familiar with church or Christianese language, a proverb is simply a wise saying. Solomon, being one of the wisest men, perhaps the wisest man to have ever lived, is well known for his proverbs or his wise sayings. And so in this passage of Scripture, there are a number of just proverbs, wise sayings, kind of rapid fire, one right after another. And the one in particular that they had landed on that particular Sunday was the statement where Solomon says, "The day you die is better than the day you are born." And how it's better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. And I remember thinking that Sunday, man, there would be a great passage of Scripture to preach on the first Sunday of the semester when all the students are back in town. I'm sure they would be thrilled to hear how it's better to go to a funeral home than it is to go to the party of the friend who lives next door. Am I right? I mean, you can't wait to hear this, I'm sure. But the more I thought about that, really, I think the Holy Spirit said, okay, you think that? Well, let's think about that for a moment, Charlie. And the more I thought about it, I began to think, you know, maybe that's not a bad passage of Scripture to work out of on the first day of the semester that everybody is back, because maybe there is something to what Solomon is saying here that not only young people in high school or college might need to hear, but maybe even those of us who are well on into our years might need to hear. And so maybe there is something in this odd passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit can use today in our lives. So that's the seed for this title, Red Solo Cup versus Ashes to Ashes. I don't know if any of you are country music fans or not. If you do, you recognize the meaning behind Red Solo Cup. That's a Toby Keith song, a country performer who some time ago came out with this song called Red Solo Cup, which is a song about having a party and drinking out of a red solo cup. Now, I'm pretty sure, because I've seen the video, I think, that goes with the song, that what the song is implying is pretty much getting three sheets to the wind, drinking out red soda. They're not drinking Gatorade or Kool-Aid. Well, maybe they are, but it's probably got something else in there that makes that, gives it a little bit more of a kick. I'm using it as a metaphor just for having a good time, a party. Not necessarily getting wasted or just blown away of any sort, but just, hey, we drink out of red Solo cups in the Basil house, you know, when we have a birthday party or a cookout or something, and as I'm sure many of you do as well. Today, that represents just having fun, having a good time, enjoying ourselves, having a party, versus ashes to ashes. I think you'll recognize that as you often hear this maybe more in a movie than you do in real life, where someone is at the site of a grave service and they're saying the old words, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, I think is how that expression goes. And that kind of represents what takes place at a funeral, which all of us at some point or other have been to a funeral. It's a somber occasion. It's not a party atmosphere typically, but much more reflective, much more serious, much more considering what's going on and what has happened and all of that. So, this is my way of reframing Solomon's statement that it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party. Now, my question is, how can there be any truth in that statement? What is it that Solomon is really getting at in that proverb and in the words that come shortly before it and then follow right after it? Is it really better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party? And if so, how and why would that be the case? Well, let's just establish real quickly here from the start that in saying this, in taking this attitude, in posing this view of life, Solomon is not just coming from a place where he has an aversion to a good time. Solomon does not write this from the standpoint of someone who just wants to rain on everybody's parade. In fact, if you read earlier on in Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes, you kind of get the point or the idea that at various times in Solomon's life, he knew how to throw a party. He'd been there and done that. In fact, if you'd never been to one of his parties, you'd missed out on something, because Solomon really seems to know how to have a good time. So he's been there and he's done that. And in fact, that's what qualifies him so uniquely and positions him to be able to make the statement that he makes. He's been there and done that. He's able to look at life, having been there and done that, and make an evaluation of what goes on in life in such a way that we should pay attention to him. He's not just some sourpuss who goes through life with a scowl on his face trying to keep anybody from having a good time. He's been there. He's had a good time. And he writes now as one looking back and reflecting on life and how best it should be lived. Solomon is a good king. He's a wise man. And so he writes to give his subjects a perspective on life. He writes so that they might not make perhaps some of the same mistakes that he made. He writes so that they might live better, happier, more fulfilled focused lives than maybe he had lived at various points in his life. He's hoping, I believe, that perhaps some will listen to him and learn from his perspective. So listen to what he says. I don't know if you have your text open there or not, but he writes, "It's better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. Sorrow," he says, "is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us." A wise person, Solomon says, thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Now, is God through Solomon and the Holy Spirit saying to us that we should never have a good time? That we ought to walk around thinking about death every moment of the day with this sad, serious, somber look on our face that never smiles and never enjoys life? Is that what God wants from us? No, not at all. Is Solomon saying that we should never go to a party, that we should never have fun with our family or our friends? No. Should we take what he says literally and start hanging out at funeral homes? I'm not going to, because I think that would be weird. Now, if you want to go hang out at a funeral home all the time, 24/7, have at it, but I think that's kind of weird. I don't think that's what he intends us to do here. Well, what is he trying to say? Well, I think, this is me, that what he's trying to get us to see, and he's saying it in a very provocative way that grabs our mind, that grabs our attention, when you say it's better to go to a funeral home than a party, well, that's pretty different. That's pretty provocative. That kind of makes you sit up and think, what? So I think what he's saying here in a very provocative way, designed to grab our attention, is that whether we're young or old, it's not wise for any of us to think that life is just about having a good time. And that's not just a message that this group of people need to hear, but that all of us need to be reminded of. Life is not just about having fun. Now, having said that, I will say this, and I know this may come as a surprise to some of you. Preachers, and maybe I shouldn't try to speak for all of them because I can't do that. I should speak just for myself, maybe. I like to have fun. And maybe you would never have thought that. I don't know. Maybe you think by the persona that you perceive that I have, that I never laugh or like to have fun. Somebody flip that over to the next screen there. I don't have a flip. Hey, that looks like a couple to me that likes to have fun, right? That's a good-looking woman, and that's a good-looking man right there, in my opinion. That was taken last night at a restaurant down in Paris, Mio Mio's, that we went to for some good food, celebrating early our 30th wedding anniversary, which will come up this Wednesday. Thank you. She deserves a big hand of applause. for putting up with that fool for 30 years. I'm telling you that. Okay, you don't have to leave that up there any longer. The point being, you like to have fun with your family. We like to have fun. I like to go to parties. I like to go on trips with my family. I like to go camping. I like to go golfing. I like to hang out with my friends just as much as any of you do. We like to have fun and have a good time. And I know that I'm talking to a group of people here this morning. For the most part, I think you also like to have fun. You enjoy doing things with your family and your friends, as you should. And I know I'm talking to a group of people here and sprinkled throughout the auditorium this morning. Young people in particular like to have fun, like to have a good time. And many of the young people sitting right here, I'm sure, are looking forward to the next 8 years as they are in college, having a really, that's about how long it takes anymore to get out, I think, having a really good time. And you should. All of us should live life and enjoy it and embrace the good that is in our lives and take advantage of the opportunities to celebrate and to have fun and to enjoy being with people. God gave us the capacity to laugh, to have joy, to be with friends and family and do things that give us pleasure and give us moments that we look back upon and we smile and we laugh and we remember fondly. That is good. And we should do that as long as we can, as long as we live. I hope that those in here this morning who are well into their retirement years are still able to laugh and enjoy life and have fun with family and friends and do things that bring you pleasure. I'm convinced that God would want that, and that God blesses that in His children. But, and you knew that was coming, right? But that's not all there is to life. Solomon says, only the fool thinks that life is just about having a good time. Well, what else is there? Someone might ask. Well, real quickly, Solomon does give a couple of things to think about in this passage. One of the things he says is that actually you learn more from the hard times, the sad times, the difficult times, than you do the good times and the easy times and the pleasant times. Most of us are more than happy to run toward the easy times, the good times, the fun activities. But oftentimes we run away from the hard things and the challenges and the difficult times and the sad times. But Solomon says, don't do that. You're actually going to learn more and be shaped and refined more by the hard things you go through than the easy things. Does that mean that we shouldn't have fun? No, it just means we may learn more through the hard things that we experience than we do the fun things that we experience. The hard things end up being the better teachers in life. It took me a while to figure that one out. And you may not have figured that one out yet either. But Scripture urges us to see the value of times of testing and trials and challenges and hardships, because those are the times that, if we're willing, we learn the most. So don't think that the only good thing is a fun thing. Enjoy life, have fun, but don't run from the hard things. We actually learn more from those than we do the parties. And I think that's what Solomon is saying. We learn more from the challenges than we do the parties. And second thing, real quick. While parties and red solo cups are much more fun than funeral homes have their purpose. They remind us that all of us will one day be there. Unless the Lord returns first, someone someday will walk by our casket and say something hopefully good about us. You say, well, what's the good in thinking about death? Well, maybe it's not so much death itself as to what Scripture has to say about what happens after death. Because at the end of this very book, Ecclesiastes, a summation is made. And here it is. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or bad. If we combine this verse with other teachings in Scripture, here's what we come away with. At some point in the future, there will be a judgment. And with the exception of those who happen to be alive at the time when Jesus returns, that judgment for the majority of people will occur after we've died. And so in a sense, death completes or finishes or ends the opportunity we have to prepare for what happens after death. And so the goal of life, Solomon says, is not just to have fun. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. That's good. But the goal of life is to know our Creator, to seek Him, to come to know Him, to understand His will for us, and to seek to live out that will faithfully in our lives. This life is really more of a training ground, a place of preparation for the life to come. And so we use the opportunities that we have to know our Creator, to walk with our Creator, to serve our Creator, so that we have no need to fear the judgment to come. And so I guess what I'm trying to say this morning simply is this: go out from this place and have fun. Have a good time. Enjoy the opportunities to laugh and celebrate that God gives you. But remember, that's not all we're here to do. There is more. Don't run from the hard times. You'll learn something if you're willing. And use this life, this time, to get to know your Creator and to allow His Word, not the culture, allow His Word and the Spirit He places in us to shape you and to mold you more perfectly into His image. So that when He returns or when He judges, we won't have to fear that, because we know Him. And He knows us. And as Tim said, we belong to Him. May God bless you. God bless these folks and over here and wherever you are. If you're new to our community, new to our church, we hope this is not the last time you are here. We hope you will want to walk with us through the time that you spend on this campus and lean on us and use us and serve the Lord from this body of Christians. We look forward to seeing you here again in weeks to come. However we can help you this morning in your walk with Christ, this invitation is for you. to walk more faithfully, if we can pray with you, help you begin a walk with Christ, we stand ready to do that. Let's say it together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.